Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, this is Michael Sinoff with Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I just got finished doing a 50-minute fascinating interview with a gentleman named Dr. John DeMartini. I'm going to call him Dr. John for short. Dr. John is a world-leading inspirational speaker. He's the author at the forefront of a burgeoning personal and professional development industry. This guy's read more than 28,000 texts in over 200 different disciplines, ranging from psychology, philosophy, metaphysics, theology, neurology, and physiology. He was born in Houston, Texas. He was one of two children. At the age of 7, he was told he had a learning disability and would never read or write or communicate. At 14, he was a high school dropout living on the streets and panhandling for food in California. After a near-death experience at 17, it changed his life. He had been given a second chance, and he made the decision to dedicate his life to becoming a teacher, a healer, and a philosopher. If you've ever seen the famous movie The Secret, you'll see him featured in that. You'll hear about how this came about in the interview. Today, Dr. D speaks 300 days a year in over 50 countries across the globe. He's the author of over 40 books. Some of his best-selling titles include The Breakthrough Experience, A Revolutionary New Approach to Personal Transformation, Count Your Blessings, and How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven. Recently, Dr. D has captured the attention of celebrities, international sports personalities, noted professionals, UN representatives. As a result of his self-help methodology, he developed and coined the DeMartini Method. He puts on seminars and trainings, over 60 different ones all over the world. It's derived from a study of quantum physics. The DeMartini Method is being studied in a number of universities and presented to psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, health professionals, and even prison workers all over the world. Dr. D has shared the stage with such famous people as Stephen Covey, Donald Beck, Mark Victor Hansen, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Dr. Patch Adams. He's also been a welcome guest on over 1,200 radio and television talk shows, including CNN, Larry King Live, CBS's Early Show, PBS, Dennis Holy, CNBC's Alive and Wellness, Mornings with Carrie Ann, Good Morning Australia, and Voice of America. He has homes scattered across the world, but uniquely, he lives aboard a luxury cruise liner called The World. It's the only resort community in the world that continually circumvents and travels the globe. This allows him to do speaking engagements all over the world. I bombarded him with as many questions as I could about his marketing business, about speaking to tens of thousands of people, about his affiliation with The Secret, about his beliefs, purpose, and goals, and just about what he's been doing lately. I think you're going to find it fascinating. We cover a lot of different topics, and I hope you enjoy. Let's get going. Nice meeting you. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. And I understand when you were 7, you were diagnosed with a learning disability?
Well, I don't know if it's about a diagnosis, but I guess it's called that. I had a first grade teacher that had me in regular reading class, and then in a matter of a week or so, she said, well, you need to go to a remedial reading class. And then about a week later, she said, no, you're in a dunce class. So she called my parents in and said, look, he's got problems reading. He'll never be able to read, write, or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life. So that was the starting point when I was 7. And I made it through elementary school with the help of the smartest kids in the class who I befriended and learned how to ask questions from them to get through school.
Okay. And what did your mom and dad do?
Well, this is 1950, so in those days, you know, they really didn't have much to do. The teacher had some sort of authority. There wasn't a lot of systems and support groups around that area, and they just assumed that was true. And she suggested I go into sports, so I started going into sports and excelling in that area and just tried to make it through school somehow and excelling sports. That's what the pathway was. And because I asked the smartest kids in the class what they got from everything, I was able to make it through elementary school until I turned 12 to 13, and that's when my parents moved to a different town and started a different school. That's when all the sudden it was evident that I was relying on those kids that were smart, because when they were gone, I started failing everything.
Do you think it was a natural instinct that you learned to ask questions?
Well, that was a survival mechanism. Well, there was actually a girl named Martha Rose Scartosi, who was a very attractive girl when I was in first grade, who I didn't mind asking questions to her because she was the brightest girl. I learned from her doing that, and then I started hanging out with some of the smartest kids, Clinton Duvall and Jerry Sampson and a few others, and they helped me get through school.
What happened at 14? You dropped out of school?
I dropped out of school, and my goal was to go surfing in California and Hawaii, and so my parents gave me a ride to the freeway with a notarized piece of paper saying he's not a runaway, he's a boy with a dream, and off I went.
Where'd you go? What part of California?
I first went to Huntington Beach, California. Well, I came in 10 into L.A. and then down the coast towards Huntington Beach, and I fell in love with Huntington Beach. That was the surf capital at the time.
What do you think influenced you? Because I'm from Atlanta originally, and I had that California dream, and I have to look back on listening to the Beach Boys and seeing the skateboarding and roller skating on the boardwalk. Those were some of the visions that really drove me to come out here when I think about it. What about you? What influenced you to get you out here?
Well, Surfer Magazine, I think, and seeing the hot chicks with the bikinis, I think that motivated me to come to California. There was pictures all up and down the beach of long-haired hippie surfer guys with lots of chicks and surfing, so that was a cool thing for me at the time.
I mean, were you able to support yourself at that age? Were you living?
I had $13 when I was dropped off on the highway there, and then my dad said always keep at least $13, and I had a little job when I was 9 learning how to make money, and so he said, you're on your own, go for it. And so I panhandled, and I bummed and begged and went into diners and got food off tables and lived in communes and did whatever teenagers did in those days. Huntington Beach, I learned how to panhandle and make good money on the beach. So I made enough to survive there until I had enough money to go to Hawaii.
So panhandling, that's when you're just asking for money.
Yeah, you're just asking for money, and you know, there's girls up and down the beach, so you'd ask them for a quarter or whatever, and you collect those things and have to turn the coins into dollars because it jingled too much. From 14 to 16, I was in California mainly, and then I also went to Mexico in a few places, hitchhiking and surfing. Then I went on to eventually Hawaii, and I remember the first day I got there, I slept under the Sunset Bridge on the North Shore, and then I found a social climb to live at Iakai Beach Park under the park bench, and then finally in the bathroom showers where the water wouldn't do it if it rained. And then finally I got me a rusty old beat-up car that we got to crash out in, and then from there I got me a tent, and then you know, I kept social climbing until I finally hung out in a tent in the jungle in the beach area.
Were you doing any drugs?
Well, I was trying to expand my mind through natural means in those days, you know, so it was herbs and mushrooms and all the things that were essential in those days. I ended up eventually getting strychnine on the North Shore. That's where I got my strychnine poisoning.
How did that happen?
There are some plants that grew on the beach there that had toxic strychnine in it, and I almost died of that. That's when I ended up being led to meet Paul Bragg. I went to a little class at a yoga class because I had the strychnine poisoning. It caused damage to my neuromuscular system, and somebody told me to go to a yoga class. So I went to the yoga class. I met Paul Bragg, who was a 93-year-old inspiring man who was lecturing on the power of the mind and body and spirit and healing and how we can maximize our life. And that night is the turning point. That's when I decided that night I wanted to do what I'm doing today.
Was this guy renowned, Paul Bragg?
Yeah, he was the one that started American health food stores. He worked with the celebrities. He had TV shows. I mean, he was an amazing guy.
Were you able to overcome the physical limitations as a result from the strychnine using?
Well, I started doing what he said. I started eating better. I started meditating. I started fasting. I started setting goals. My life changed that night. It took me about 12 years to have all symptoms of strychnine gone.
So what is Dr. DeMartini's mission and purpose today?
Well, I'm just dedicated to studying the laws of the universe and sharing them. I'm a researcher, writer, traveler, and speaker. I do everything I can to try to help people maximize their potential and live their life absolutely amazingly and live an inspired life. I feel like I get to do that, so I try to help other people do the same.
Well, I saw you on The Secret, and it wasn't until I was just doing a little research on you and I was thinking about when I was watching it. Now I remember which guy you were in The Secret. And what a phenomenal success. How did you become involved in The Secret Project?
Well, I have been involved since 17. I'm almost 53 now, so since 17, 35 years, I've been involved in personal development. This year, I'll do over 400 speeches, so I do a lot of speaking. After a while, people get to know about you, and, you know, you make some sort of dent in the game. And, you know, I've got a bunch of books out and CDs and things out, and it was Jack Canfield who asked if I wanted to be involved in a transformational leadership council group that he was putting together. And I told him, yep, my schedule permit, I'd love to meet. So it was about 33 of us that got together, and on the third meeting, we were meeting in Aspen, and we were just breaking bread and just chatting and figuring out how we can help each other grow in ways to help serve people in the transformational industry. And Rhonda Byrne, who's over in Melbourne, Australia, was going through her vision of doing The Secret, and so she was looking for people around the world that had specialized and had been teaching principles of The Secret. So in the process of doing it, she looked on the internet, started idolizing, you might say, which ones she was going to put in the movie, And Jack Canfield was one of them, and I was one of them, and a bunch of other ones. And she contacted Jack in our office and found out that 33 of us were meeting. So about 30 of the people that she had already picked out that she wanted in the movie were all going to meet at one place. So she said, hell, let's go. Let's fly over there and get it all done as much as we can in the shortest period of time.
What was her background? How did the whole book come along?
From what I understand, and I could be off on a little bit, but I think she was involved in primetime television production. She produced a number of movies and been in the television industry. And she had had a low period, and her daughter brought her a book to help get her out of kind of a slump. And that book inspired her, and that's what inspired her to do the movie. And so when she then started looking for people that specialize in those principles, we all showed up. And then when she came to film, it was really amazing because besides the 33, there were two others that happened to be in the same city. And so she got to film, I think, 35 people in 4 days.
How big of a success has this secret movie and everything that spawned off from it been?
I don't know the exact numbers. You know, I've heard all different types of numbers. I know in Africa alone, when I've spoken to probably 10,000 people just in cinemas, and probably 1 out of 100 have bought, and there's millions that have been bought, these DVDs and the books. So it could be probably almost 1 billion people that have seen this DVD now. People everywhere I've gone have seen the DVD, so I don't know how many people around the world. It's just infiltrating into the Latin American countries and other languages now, so it's a phenomenon that's obviously an idea as time has come.
Was it a self-published movie by her or her publishing company, or was
it? Well, her production company, she put together some people out of Los Angeles, Drew Harriet, who is the director, and a team around him and her, and they start filming and they produce this. And then, of course, all of us, all the speakers, all had networks, so it was pretty ingenious what she did. I mean, she got to capitalize on all our networks, too, and all our PR maneuvers, and then she got her own PR work and her own distribution system in place and viral marketing. And it was an ingenious objective.
Well, our students here at HardToFindSeminars.com, this is stuff they live for, viral marketing, publishing, and you're the publisher of multiple books. How would you say publishing a book has helped you in the marketing of John DeMartini? You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Well, you know, I started writing my first book at 23, and I started doing self-publishing when I finally had enough money out of college to start doing it. And without a doubt, books were assisting me. I mean, I guess when you call yourself an author, what that really means is you're developing authority, and people look up to you and they listen to you more, and so it helps in the marketing and helps in people listening and networking. And yeah, there's before book and after book. If a person has a book, it definitely assists them in moving forward on their speaking or exposure career.
Has being involved in The Secret, have you seen a bump in your business because of the mass distribution?
We've estimated around 17-18% boost in the business since it's come out, and it was gradual. It wasn't immediate, but it's gradually increased. And I don't know, I think there may be a little bit of a leveling now, but I definitely had about a 17-18% improve since it came out.
When you do speaking engagements all over the world, are you marketing and selling your information products and books at your speaking engagements?
Oh, yes. I just got in from Australia last night, and we did a tour there in Australia and New Zealand, about 5 cities, and I don't even know how many books and tapes we sold, just lots.
So are you self-published, or do you use a publisher?
About 6 of my books are through Hay House, and then I've got some other published books, and then I've got my own books. So we've got quite a few of those, and then we've got lots of CDs and DVDs and other products we've done.
But from profitability-wise and making money as a speaker, I mean, where's money made in this business? Selling product, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on the speaker. Some people have honorariums and they don't have a lot of product. Other people have a lot of product and they don't even worry about honorariums. And then others are selling upsell packages to other programs. We do all three. I get an honorarium, and then I also have product sales, and I also have upsells.
What is an honorarium?
It depends on what I do. It's somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 for the day or the keynote speech.
Okay, I see. The actual fee, okay.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I'll have an upsell on the numbers of people in the room because there's tens of thousands of people or 5,000 or 2,000 or whatever. Then based on numbers at the door, then there's a percentage. And then there's also product sales. And those are all different arrangements based on the number of people that are there. I just did a program a few weeks ago with Donald Trump and George Foreman and Tony Robbins in Philadelphia, and there were like 10, 12,000 people there.
Is that a Learning Annex event?
Yeah, it was a Learning Annex event. So as a result of that, we worked a different arrangement because of the numbers. And then some's a small group, it's a private group, so we have to do totally different arrangements, more honorarium and less product sales.
Did you talk to Donald?
Yeah, we did, in fact. I used to live in Trump Tower here in New York, and so I see the Donald quite a bit.
Oh, great. What do you like about speaking?
Well, it's been my mission since I was 17, so I do 400 speeches a year. I've been doing at least 300 speeches a year for many, many years. I mean, that's just what I love doing.
Do you write each one of your speeches yourself?
No. I'm researching every day, and I'm always having something to do, and I can't wait to get out and share it, so I don't write a speech. I just get up and speak.
So you don't have any kind of outline or PowerPoint when you go up there? You
never
just
have.
Never.
No, I'd love to be just me. I just get up and I share what's inspiring to me and make sure I have more information than they ever imagined getting.
When did you first start heavily speaking, traveling around the world?
Well, I first started professional speaking at 23, and I started doing them in my apartment 5 and 6 and 7 nights a week, and then it went from there into the community and then from there into the city. By the time I was 27, I had a radio show and TV show, and I was doing a lot around the city of Houston and starting to do a little bit out of the city. By 29, I was going all over the states and starting to go international, and by 30, I was doing international. And 23 years now, I've been doing international speaking.
What's the largest audience you've ever spoken to?
Well, I guess if you're calling media, or are you doing...
Well, let's say live, in front of people.
About 12,000.
12,000?
Yeah.
And how about media-wise?
Media, 99 million.
Was that Larry King?
No. I don't know how many Larry has. I wish I knew exactly how many he had on there. I tried to estimate it, but I've never been able to get an exact figure.
What was 99 million?
It was Voice America.
Okay.
Voice America Radio. I did it with Bill Clinton. He and I were on for an hour when Kosovo issue was on, and we spoke to people all over the world. That was a lovely experience.
Do you ever get nervous and it butterflies in your stomach even before something like that?
You know, I rarely do. I guess because I do it every day. Like the day before yesterday, I had the opportunity to do an all-day program, and then at lunch, I zipped out and did a program to hundreds of people, and then at night, I did another one and filled up the theater, and we did another one that night. So I don't have time to get the butterflies, I guess.
What's your organization look like? You're full-on, 400 speeches a year. How's your business organized? What kind of team do you have in place?
Well, I got different teams in different countries. So there's somebody in, I don't even know, 56 countries, there's somebody out there helping in some way. And so like in Australia, I'm guessing we probably had a team of probably 75 people with all the different helpers and assistants in different locations there. Yeah, at least that many. And then in South Africa, we've got a team. And then in now Manila, we've got a team building. And we've got it in Japan. And we've got them in Europe. We've got them all over the place. There's teams in all the cities and states and nations that we go to.
Is any of this set up through your main office?
Well, I have an office in Africa, and we kind of have a team in Australia. Different countries, we have teams that run everything there. And then I've got a head office for the states in Texas. And I've got about 7 or 8 people there that coordinate a lot of my schedule and flights and arrangements while I'm in the U.S. And then in each country, the people there take care of that.
So what's it like being in front of 12,000 people speaking? I mean, that must be a high.
I look out and you only see a handful of people at a time, so it's like just speaking to any group. You're speaking to one face at a time, and you just get up and you share your heart with people. I love it when there's a big audience in a small space, so it's packed, more so than a giant warehouse kind of thing or a big stadium and not as packed. I've spoken to small groups that are packed in a room, and I've gone big ones, and there's just as much exhilaration from both.
So I was reading you travel around on a luxury cruise liner called The World.
Yeah, one of my homes is a ship called The World. It's a condominium ship, and I'm off and on it. I'm not on there every day because of my travels. I'm not always able to coordinate it.
So do you own this yourself?
No, there's 114 of us that own this. It's 675 feet long, it's 115 foot wide, and it's about 12 stories high, and it's got beautiful homes on there. They range anywhere from 1,200 to 7,400 square feet mansions, and there's 114 of us that live on it, and it just circumnavigates the globe.
And so this is a method of traveling to your engagements.
Well, whenever I can. Now, sometimes it just doesn't work because my schedule was not able to be matching. But luckily, I'm able to do that. And when I do, I'm on there, and I just get out and speak. And sometimes I speak on the ship, and then I travel most of the time. I'm nonstop traveling. I'm dedicated to my work. I've been doing this since 17, and as far as I'm concerned, this is what I live for. This is what I love. This is what I do.
Are you married?
My wife passed away 2.5 years ago. She had unexpected cancer that took her. And so now I'm dating a new girl that's named Star and developing a relationship. And I'm just on the go, and she meets me in rendezvous at various romantic places. In fact, she's coming here to New York in a few days.
That's great. Sorry to hear about that, about your wife. Do you have children?
I have 3 children that are grown up. They're in college, and they're in Houston, and I just talked to one early this morning, and the other one has just got a new job, and so I keep up to date with them on Skype, thank God.
Great. What kind of people live on that World Cruise Liner? All across the board?
I mean, there's 114. They're wealthy entrepreneurs, some royalty, some celebrity. I really don't know if I should say all the names.
Oh, that's okay. But is this an exclusive, the World, or are there multiple cruise liners that work like this?
The one and only.
One and only. It's called The World.
It's called The World.
That's really cool. Who introduced you to that?
Well, I saw it being advertised about 7-plus years ago when they were first conceiving of it, and they were advertising the opportunity. And I've said to myself since I was 18 that the universe is my playground, the world is my home, every country is a room in the house, and every city is another platform I could share my heart with. That's been my affirmation. And so when I saw the ship called The World, I thought, wow, I wouldn't mind being on that. That'd be great. So I checked into it, but at the time it was only 27% had been purchased. So I thought it was a little premature. I didn't want to give money out until I knew for sure it was really going to work. And it was a new idea. And then later on, I ran into another gentleman that bought 2 apartments on there, And he had done such a due diligence that I asked him a million questions, and then I bought the next day. So my wife and I moved on almost 5.5 years ago.
Wow, that's great. A lot of people are lacking energy, and for what you do, it must take an extreme amount of energy with your schedule. What are some techniques or some secrets that you can give to the listeners to keep their energy up, or what do you do to keep your energy up?
You love and love what you do and be inspired about it. That's one. And
enthusiasm.
Yeah, you got to be enthused about what you do. If you can't wait to get up in the morning to go do it, people can't wait to come get it. And I eat lightly. I don't eat heavy, and I drink a lot of water, and I breathe deep, and I'm up there doing it. I'm inspired by what I do, and I can't wait to share new research material with people, and it's been my dream. You know, when you're doing your dream, you have energy. I don't know. I just do what I love.
Well, I know you're a student of quantum physics.
I'm definitely involved in quantum physics. I've been studying physics since I was 18. I've written about it and talked about it and lectured on it and spoken at conferences on it.
What's some new research that's just coming out related to quantum physics that really will blow people's mind?
I put together a method. I call it the DeMartini method. It was originally called the quantum collapse process, but it confused so many people by that term that we changed it to the DeMartini method. But it's basically a principle of asking quality questions that brings equilibration to the mind and helps a person see the hidden order in life. When they're in their chaos and their stress, it's a series of questions to help you see the hidden order so you're vitalized again instead of baggaged and emotional distraught. And it's a very powerful tool, and it's all based on quantum physics. It's based on what they call symmetry laws in quantum physics and charge parity laws. So all the physics laws I just put into a psychological profile and questioning process, and it's amazing. It literally takes people to new quantum levels in their thinking and action.
Right, give me an example. Let's say a husband and wife are having an argument, and they're emotional and they're fighting. What kind of tools can they use using the DeMartini method?
Well, since I just finished a book called The Heart of Love, I have a whole chapter on just exactly how to handle that. But first of all, when they're arguing, that means they're both trying to be right instead of love. They're both projecting their values self-righteously onto the other one and expecting the other one to live according to their values instead of honoring the other person's values and learning how to communicate their own in terms of their partner's values. And so that's the first step, is learning what the other person's values are. You see, people have a hierarchy of values, and whatever is highest on their values, where their order is and their discipline, and that's what they're reliable on. And if you expect them to do anything other than that, then you're going to be betrayed and you're going to feel upset. And then if you project yours onto them, you're going to get mad at them. And wisdom is not doing that. Wisdom is discovering what theirs are and then honoring that, and then learning how to communicate like a salesperson in terms of that so they get what they want. You help them get what they want, you get what you want.
What about people who are around negative people? What advice would you have for them?
Well, I don't ever label anybody negative. I just label people people. And I say that because they have a set of values, if I go against their values and challenge them, they're going to respond negatively. If I go in favor of their values, they're going to open up and be more positive. So I never label them, because if you label them, you're stuck. What you do is you find out what their needs and values are, and you communicate them, and they open up, and they get really warm to you.
What are some questions that you can identify those values?
Well, it's just like anything else. When you're trying to communicate in sales, you have to first greet and introduce somebody, gain rapport with them by asking questions that bring a commonality, then establish need. You have to find out what their needs are by asking questions. Selling is never telling, it's always asking. And then you have to confirm those needs, and then you can offer solutions or suggestions to people. Then you can, as they say, close on the deal, and then you get to do it. But you got to find out what their needs are. And what people do is they project onto people their assumed needs instead of finding out what their real needs are. And people get negative, they get bitter about it, because you don't like to be told what you're supposed to be doing. You like to be asked, what do you need, and then have somebody help you with it.
Right. In your book, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Go to Heaven, what's this book about?
Well, so many people over the years have had a block between their spiritual quest and their material quest. I see people that are either really metaphysical, kind of not down-to-earth people that are kind of out there in hairy fairyland, or you see people that are really grounded that have no metaphysical twist on their life. And I always say that you need both. You need the inspiration, and you also need the practical. And so what I've done is I've put the book together to show people that you need spirit and matter. Spirit without matter is expressionless, and matter without spirit is motionless. You need to be able to master your art of building wealth and evaluating yourself, and also living a spiritual quest, doing something that inspires you, that's really high on your values, that's a service to people. And the book is about how to put those two together and make a fortune serving people.
Chapter 2 is titled The Principle of Fair Exchange. What does that mean?
Well, fair exchange means that if you project your assumptions onto others and assume what they need and think yours is right, then you're going to end up trying to get something for nothing. If you sit there and walk in altruism and martyrdom, you try to sacrifice yourself for them, you're going to give them something for nothing. Now, the key is to make sure you find a way of communicating what you have in terms of what their values are, so you have fair exchange. That means you do a service, you get a reward. Doing a service and not getting a reward, or getting a reward without a service, eventually breaks down.
Look, humans are emotional. There's no doubt about it. And handling and managing your emotions has got to be probably one of the hardest things ever. Can you give me some insight on ways people can handle and control their emotions, whether it's anger or anything other?
There's 12 basic sources of anger. Anytime you have an unrealistic expectation on a human being to live outside the laws of the universe, and you're expecting to be nice, never mean, kind, never cruel, positive, never negative, and one-sided. It's like trying to get a one-sided magnet. You chop a magnet in half, you'll always get two sides. If you chop a person in half, you're still going to get two sides out of them. So if you expect them to be one-sided and not both-sided, you're going to be upset and angry. You're going to be feeling frustrated. And then if you expect them to live outside their values and have unrealistic expectation on them to live out their values, now you're going to be frustrated again. So those are two sources of negativity. Then you put those two together, that's the third source. Then the next one is the unrealistic expectation on ourselves to be one-sided. We're expecting ourselves to be always up, never down, positive, never negative, happy, never sad, kind, never cruel, give, never take. These are fantasies. And then we expect ourselves to live outside our own values because we've injected the values of some authority into our life and we're trying to be somebody we're not. Then we're going to get angry at ourselves. And then the combination of those two. And then we do that on the universe. We expect it to be matching everything that we expect and supposed to be always supporting us and never challenging us. And that's a fantasy and that makes us angry. Then we expect the universe to always live by our values. And then we expect mechanical objects to live by our values. Computers to do exactly what we expect when we don't know how to run them. So we get angry whenever we have false expectations on people or objects or on the universe and ourselves.
So to manage it, we got to relook at our expectations?
We have to look at our expectations, and then we have to realize that, you know, if we have a false expectation on life, like if somebody comes up and they're in a relationship and they say, okay, well, this person's always supposed to be nice to me and supportive, then you got a fantasy. Because they're a human being with a set of values, and if you communicate in their values, they're going to be nice to you. If you go against their values, they're going to be mean to you. So if you expect it to be one side without the other side, you have a fantasy, and you're going to end up being angry and betrayed and be critical. But that's a symptom. See, the negativity and the criticalness that comes out of you is actually a symptom to try to give you a wake-up call on what's unreal in your expectations. And once you get that wake-up call and set realistic objectives, you don't get the negativity.
I see. Look, you've been teaching for so many years. You've got to know that people like learning, but learning about it and listening and taking seminars and actually doing something about it, about making changes, is another story. I guess, what's your view? Have you seen a rise in people taking action on some of the things that are being taught out there and actually using it to make changes in their lives, or are they still just listening and not doing it?
You see, it's all based on value systems. Your values dictate your destiny, and it determines how you see the world, act upon the world, and make decisions in the world. So I have people in my seminar, for instance, that their highest value is learning. So they don't have a value on actually applying it. They just want to learn it. They want to go take a seminar because they go to seminar after seminar just learning. Then you got other people that are going there to build a business, and they're looking for new insights. Now, those people are going to immediately apply it in their business. Then you got other people that are going to immediately apply it in their relationship. So everybody goes in there with a different set of values and expectations. And they're going to live according to their values. And if you expect them to do something other than that, then you're going to be frustrated. So I don't have this expectation that every single person is going to go out and use it in a certain way. I just know that they're going to live according to their values. And I know a lady that's probably spent $20,000 on seminars in the last 2 or 3 years, and she has no intention of using it. She has no intention of making a business out of it. She just likes learning. And she's got enough money where she just spends money learning.
That's a good point.
You know, I told her, I said, look, if you're going to come to my seminar, if you're not going to apply it, then what the value is it? And so I had to realize that she was just there to learn. She didn't want to go and apply it.
And you realize that there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. That's their business. But if they have unrealistic expectations to live outside their values, they're going to be critical to themselves. People bitch all the time about things, you know. They say, well, I'm not getting this. But the real truth is their unconscious motives and their real value systems keep creating their life. And as long as they're not conscious of what their unconscious motives are, they'll set unrealistic expectations and fantasies and be self-defeated.
In the book, The Secret, I saw a press release where you were having people come to a training that you were going to teach a few secrets beyond The Secret. Now, for anyone who hasn't seen The Secret, I guess I'll reveal The Secret. Is the law of attraction. You become what you think about. And what were some of the other secrets that you taught?
You do become what you think about, but the thing is you won't stay thinking about something unless it's valuable. You know, I ask people by the thousands in seminars, I said, how many of you want to be wealthy? And they all put their hands up. I said, how many of you have a lot of cash and are wealthy cash-wise? And they all put their hands down. Only a handful of people have their hands still up. I said, well, the difference between what you say you want, what you actually do, is your value system. So what happens is the people that say they want to be wealthy, but they don't have it, what they have in their value system is they want immediate gratification. They have desires for socializing, nice clothes, nice car, and all this other stuff. And they're all buying depreciating assets. And those things are higher on their values than actually being patient, saving money, and building long-term wealth. So as long as they have no interest in saving money, building long-term wealth, and don't have a long-term vision, and all they have is immediate gratification, their highest values, and they want to buy depreciating assets, then there's not going to be wealth because they're never going to have it work for them. They're going to be working for it all their life. So they have to have a realistic expectation according to their real values, or otherwise they're going to be frustrated and think the secret doesn't work. The secret works according to our values every time.
So you believe in the secret?
I believe in the true secret. Now, what people have done with the secret has been varied. People think that, well, I'm supposed to just hold an image of $1 million, I'm supposed to have it, and then if they don't show up in a week, then there's something wrong, you know. These are fantasies. I always ask people, if you really want $1 million, then you want to go out and find out what service do I provide that's worth it to 1 million people. Or if I can sell 1 million people $1 worth of service, or 500,000 $2, or 500 people $200 worth, then I've got $1 million. But I've got to make sure that I actually truly have something that's worth $1 million worth of value, or otherwise it's fantasy.
What do you think the state of the motivational industry is today? And have you seen any changes with the internet coming into play?
Well, it's like anything else. You have a gradation of awareness in it. Just like in religions of the world, you've got the universal down to fundamental. The fundamentals are black and white, and they're striving for that which is unobtainable, and the universals are a little bit more aware. And the same thing in motivational or inspirational industry. You've got the neophytes, and you've got the adepts. And there's a gradation there, and everyone's needed because we're all on different scales of awareness. So I guess the industry is a constant evolving process, and the ones that mastered over time, they rise up, they're fewer in number, they're greater in consciousness, and the average person is on the new journey, they're starting out. Just like in college, you have lots of people that enter into elementary school, fewer into high school, fewer into college, fewer professor emerituses, and very few Nobel Prize winners. The same thing in The Secret, same thing in The Laws of the Universe.
Can you tell me a story about one of your students, just one of the most amazing stories that pops out in your mind as far as a personal transformation? For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Oh, gosh, that's a lot of people. I had a funny one. I was in France doing a financial mastery program. I have the Secrets of Financial Mastery CDs that I did. And I was doing a two-day program over there, and there's a guy there that could barely speak English. I guess the translator wasn't great. And I told people that, you know, whatever you do, you start saving money and you start investing it. And I said, you start with what you can be comfortable with and add 10% to it, so it's always at the border of comfort and uncomfort. And this guy started saving. And then I said, what you do is you increase your savings and have it forced automatic savings in place where it's electronically done so you have no emotion about it, and then you increase it. And I told him to increase it at least 10% every quarter, every 3 months, once you develop the new habit. So that's what I told everybody to do. Well, 4 years after the guy comes, he comes back to me. I saw him just 2 years ago or so. He comes up to me and he says, oh, Dr. Martini, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, what happened? He says, oh, I did what you said. I started saving the money, and man, unbelievable things started happening. I said, well, what happened? He says, oh, it was just unbelievable. I've now saved $2 million. It's just been amazing. I said, well, what did you do? He says, I did what you said. I started doubling my savings every quarter. And I said, but I didn't say double. I said 10%. He says, you did? Oh, my God.
No, that's great.
So he doubled his savings every 3 months, four times a year, and imagine what that led to.
You have different types of product that represent different markets. You have financial mastery, you have wellness and health. Where do you see the biggest demand out there in the marketplace for knowledge and products?
Well, you know, I get to work in the educational industry, the health industry, financial industry, relationship dynamics. I've been blessed to be kind of that Renaissance kind, and I find them all busy. I mean, they're booming in every direction, so I don't know if I can see one more than the others.
Can you think of one of the most memorable interview experiences you've had?
Oh, I had a recent one by a gentleman. I think it's New Dimensions Radio recently out there in California. He's interviewed most of the presidents, the Dalai Lama, great leaders. He's done most celebrities. He's done amazing people. This guy's been at it for 60 years. And doing an interview with him and being in his location where he had all the archives of all the different interviews was just amazing.
What was his name? Do you remember?
His name was Tom. That's what he goes by, Tom.
Was it a radio show?
Yeah, it was a radio show. It was amazing.
Tell me about your Larry King interview.
Well, I thought the Larry King was great. I thought he's a real pro. I mean, to be in front of a master like that is a great opportunity. And he certainly knows what he's doing. He knows how to intuitively go from one person to the next to keep everybody animated. He's very great. Highlight of my life, I'd say.
Was it just you and him?
No, I had the opportunity to be on a panel with four other people. It was about The Secret.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw that with Joe Vitale. And
well, that was the second one. We had one with John Assaroff, and we had Michael Beckwith and Bob Proctor and myself, and there was also J.C. Knight. So we had a great little team, and it was a great interview, and I definitely remember that.
Do you ever see yourself settling down, getting off the road?
You know, I hope not. I've been working on it for 35 years, and I hope I can do it another 50 years.
Do you travel around with an entourage?
You know, sometimes I do. I just flew in with my publicist in from Australia, but most of the time I have an entourage there. And then when we're in that city or that state or that nation, we end up having the secondary tours that we have to go with a group.
Give me a typical day of Dr. John DeMartini.
I'm speaking most of the time. This morning I've done some interviews, and most of the time I'm doing interviews or I'm speaking, one of the two, doing some private consulting.
So what do these interviews do for you?
Well, it helps me get to reach more people. I made a mission to reach as many billion people as I can, and I've gotten to reach in the last 10 years and 5 months, almost 6 months. I've gotten the opportunity, tomorrow will be 6 months, literally 1.6 billion people. So my mission is 7 billion people, see if I can't reach every country on the face of the earth. That's been my dream since I was 17.
And so in the interview, what's the method? Directing them to your website?
I always ask that if it's possible. I mean, I let people know about drdemartini.com, or they can call 1-888-DMartini. I'd always appreciate that. But, you know, my main message is to let people know that no matter what they've done or not done, they're worthy of love, and that they deserve to live an amazing and magnificent life, and that they can be inspired, and there's tools out there that can help them, and there's no reason why they should hold and shrink back in fear or guilt when they can shine forward in love and gratitude.
What's one of your premier seminars for someone interested in learning more about your DeMartini method? Can you talk about what that is?
DeMartini method is a series of questions that we ask ourselves that help us find the hidden order in our daily chaos and transform stress into appreciation and love, and allows us to get past the baggage into the fuel. I teach people that in the Breakthrough Experience. That's the program I've been teaching now for 20 years. And in fact, in about 2 weeks, it'll be 20 years exactly. I've been teaching it. I've taught it in 52 countries to tens of thousands of people, and it's just an amazing two-day experience. I'm doing one here in New York this weekend.
It's two full days?
Two full days, from 8 in the morning to midnight, and then again early in the morning till 6 o'clock on Sunday.
So if someone comes to that, what can they expect? Is it more you speaking, or is it breaking off in groups?
It's speaking for the first portion. The morning, it's dialogue and speaking, and then the afternoon, they're working processes, and they're actually experiencing the theory that was in the morning. And then it's a combination of dialogue, interaction, group dynamics, and speaking on Sunday.
Can you just talk a little bit about the spiritual laws of saving?
Well, I tell people, look, if you don't save, you're going to be working your whole life for money, and it's going to run your life. If you do save, basically, you're going to run it. You know, if you save money, it becomes your slave, and you become its master. If you don't save money, you become its slave, and it becomes your master. And if you have a calling, something that inspires you, a real vision and a dedication in your life that you want to work towards and save money for, then the bigger the cause, the bigger your wealth potential. That's the spiritual law. You have to have a spiritual mission to drive it. One of the greatest books ever written on wealth building is called The Book of Wealth. And it said there's two driving forces, and that's spirit and matter. And you put those two together, and incredible powers are unleashed.
Other than the gentleman you mentioned earlier, the 91-year-old yoga guy, who are currently some of your mentors now?
I had a great mentor when I was in chiropractic college. He had about six PhDs. He was 35 years old. He was literally a genius. And I studied philosophy and metaphysics and anthropology and a whole bunch of things with him, and healing with him. He was a very brilliant guy, and he had a PhD in biochemistry, biology, cell physics. I mean, he was amazing. And then Paul Bragg was initiator, and then I've just been devouring literature. I mean, I speed read books. I've read over 28,000, almost 600 books. I just read, and learn, and try to share. And so I can't say it's any one person. It's just a synthesis of everybody.
Give me three of your top favorite books that you would recommend anyone has to read.
Two books that I tell people to get is Syntopic in Volumes 1 and 2. That's produced by the Great Books and Great Ideas by Britannica. Those are the two magnificent books. What that is a synthesis of 60 of the greatest minds of the last 2,500 years and the main and significant ideas that they all worked on. And it's the best of the best. And so those two books I recommend. And I always ask people to go and read Emerson's essays just to inspire them on kind of a transcendental level for their thinking.
Describe Emerson's essay on compensation to the listeners.
Well, the compensation says, for every sweet has its sour and every rise has its fall, and it's about putting and realizing the balance of life. Because many of us have fantasies and delusions that we expect from ourselves and others that are unrealistic when nature has a balance. You know, every event in quantum theory is an event that's neutral until somebody labels it and measures it and puts some sort of intention on it. And those neutral events, when they are assumed to be one-sided, we end up being defeated and illusioned. So I basically say that, you know, look at life from both sides and bring a balance into perception.
How do you think that guy became so brilliant, Emerson? Do you know?
Well, he did a lot of research. He did his homework. I had the opportunity to speak in the same place that he spoke at Harvard there one time, and it was a great honor to be able to speak because that was one of my goals when I was in my 20s. And to speak there was a great opportunity to the theology department and also the business department.
Do you set specific goals and write them down?
I have the largest collection of goals you probably anybody you'll ever meet.
How do you do it?
Just on my computer every single day. I update them, refine them, read them, refine them, read them, refine them every day, and I have one of the largest collections of gratitude lists probably anybody you'll ever meet.
Why is it important to have a gratitude list? What is it?
You're grateful for what you got. You get more to be grateful for.
Is it something you read every day or you keep adding to it?
I update it every day. Every day. That's a ritual.
Okay. Real quickly, what's the myth of retirement?
The myth of retirement? Well, I would say there's nothing wrong with retirement as long as it doesn't get in the way with what you're really up to. I don't have any vision or any desire to retire. I mean, I don't have to work. I work because I love to work, but I do it because I love doing it. I don't have any dream about going, oh, my God, I want to retire and get away from this. I would say retirement is for people that never found out what they really wanted to do. Because when you really do something you love doing and your vocation and vacation are the same, why would you want to retire?
Well stated.
I was speaking in Wuhan, Thailand at the Wellness Summit, and I had a press conference afterwards where the media was there and radio and television and all that stuff. And this lady put the microphone in front of me and she says, Dr. DeMartini, I looked at your website. You know, you're crazy. You speak so much. Why do you do this and what do you do for vacation? And here I am now in this most beautiful resort in Thailand. I have Miss Thailand as my escort, literally escorting me around for everything from lunch to dinner to travel. I'm sitting there with waterfalls, goldfish ponds, beaches with palm trees, the most magnificent resort you've ever seen. And here I am speaking, getting paid thousands of dollars to sit at this place. And I'm being interviewed by media. I mean, what better can you get? And she's asking me, what do I do for vacation? I said, ma'am, my life is a vacation. What are you talking about?
Do you remember what she said?
Well, she just looked at me kind of like a puzzled face. She just couldn't comprehend it because I guess she's not doing what she loves doing.
Right. Do you have any new books coming out soon?
I've got one book called The Gratitude Effect coming out in September. I've got The Riches Within coming out in February. I've got The Joy of Depression coming out probably before the end of the year.
That's a good headline.
I've got another one called The Boy Who Barked. It's a little children's book. So we've got a bunch of them. We've got five of them coming out.
How has Amazon been for you as far as selling books and promoting yourself?
You know, I don't know. I have that delegated out. I don't know what the numbers are in Amazon. So as far as I know, they sell books, but I just don't know. I'd have to go through the publisher to find out how many they're distributing to Amazon.
How involved are you with the marketing of your business?
Well, I think I'm number one marketer because when I'm standing up and speaking in front of thousands of people, it seems like that's the biggest drive for new business. So I guess I'm the number one marketer.
Other than that, you know, website, are you doing any direct mail?
You know, I don't. I hardly ever do that. I mean, some in my office, but it's mainly the promoters that I have around the world that are my teams outside that host. I was just in Australia, and the Global One training company does that there, and they do a lot of promotion. We spoke to 10 or 12,000 people while we were there, and so they're the ones that do the promotion. And every country I go in, we've got people that do that.
Right, so there's companies all over the world who are looking for speakers.
I really don't have to do a lot. What we do mainly in our office is schedule, make sure that products are being delivered, coordinating and designing new products, things like that. And we do some downloads. We have a website. We have newsletters, and we put on PR material on there, but we don't do an extensive amount of marketing from there direct.
I'm sure your success didn't just happen overnight.
I'm a slow learner. It's taken me 35 years.
Well, you certainly arrived. But hey, this has been fascinating. I know I've bombarded you with questions, and I really appreciate it. Why don't you give out the best website for people to learn more about you?
If they want to know more about me, I'm Dr. John F. DeMartini. My website is drdemartini.com, www.drdemartini.com.
What's one of your lower-end seminars cost?
Well, it depends. I got 60 classes that I teach, 60 programs that I offer. So they can range from an evening event like I'm doing tonight in New York City for $35 for hundreds and hundreds of people. They can be a $12,000 seminar where I take people to Tibet or China or Asia or someplace on a trip and tour studying anthropology and sociology of the culture. So there you have a lot of different ones. But the breakthrough experience is about $1,000. The seven-day program is about $3,000. There's different ones at different prices.
When they go to a seminar, do they come home with audio tapes, stuff that they can re-listen to?
Some of them have package deals that they have audios with it, and some just buy it afterwards. They just buy products freely, whatever they want. But they get a workbook with it. It depends on the seminar.
You're the one teaching it. You don't have other trained people doing them.
I teach 60 different courses, and then I have also trained facilitators teaching some of my courses and modules, and we've got about 1,600 people that are involved in that.
Wonderful. Hey, I appreciate it, Doc. This has been great, fascinating, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, I thank you and appreciate it, and hope that helps somebody out there.
That's the end of my interview with Dr. D. I hope this has been helpful. And please check out his website at drdmartini.com. That's drdmartini.com. Do a search on Google. You'll find plenty of information about him, and thanks for listening. Please make sure you listen to some of the other interviews at hardtofindseminars.com. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com in another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you in giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles, so why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. Do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Senoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip, and it has to do with podcasts. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Senoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Senoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software and search Michael Senoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, claudehopkinsadvertising.com. Claude Hopkins was one of the founders of modern-day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called The Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz malt liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today, and he was a master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, claudehopkinsadvertising.com, if you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy. You cannot pass this up. So go on over to claudehopkinsadvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. And you'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. You know, if you're looking for a product that you can really hustle, something that you're learning from all the techniques in, you may want to check out another website I have. It's called idpen.com. That's I-D as in dog, pen.com. And what you're going to find out at idpen.com is one of my very first businesses. It's a business I started in my one-bedroom apartment when I had absolutely no money and I needed a product to sell. It's a pen that I manufacture right out of my house. I've been doing this for 10 years without any machinery or any equipment. I had a pen that I could manufacture for 17 cents and resell by the hundreds wholesale for $1.50 each. It's a product that has kept food on my table and kept the bills paid for 10 years, and it's an exciting opportunity that if you're looking for something to hustle, to use your copywriting skills or direct mail education, it may be something you want to go check out. So go head on over to idpen.com. There at the front page, you'll hear me do telemarketing. You can hear me get sales right on the front page. It's fascinating stuff, and I'd urge you, if you're looking for something to hustle, to go check it out. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.